everybody doing good? December morning and beautiful Charleston. Hello. Glad to have you guys with us today and all locations celebrating Christmas, and every week in December celebrating a little more piece of Christmas. And then we open those doors wide open on December 21st and 22nd with six different services around, and it's going to be great. But we're just glad you guys are here. We're glad everyone in this room is here. Anybody watching online, we're glad that you're able to be with us today and watch. And it is wonderful. I love the Fields Church at Christmas and all that you do, all we do. And let's talk about that for just a moment. When you walked in, you got handed the Christmas offering, Be a Blessing, kind of a bit of a small brochure to explain how can we really bless a lot of people this December, this Christmas season. And we actually operate in like three lanes around here. We always want to help people right here at home, and we want to be a blessing and invest in people in the community, and then we want to make a difference and impact lives all around the world. And so we thought, what if we did all three of those, hit all three of those areas in December and just really blessed a lot of people? And so you can see we kind of said, hey, we want to help some families right here at home, right here. We start being made aware of different needs that are within our own church family, and we want to be able to say, we can meet some of those. We can help those, maybe bless someone that's sitting right next to you, you don't even know it, or right down the row. And then we're going to do something pretty phenomenal in one of those schools in our community. There's debt being racked up by families because they weren't able to afford their school lunch, and there is over 180 families at Williams Elementary and have debt in their school lunch account. And we want to just be able to, at Christmas, say, you guys, we're going to take care of that for you. And we're going to just eliminate all of the school lunch debt out of Williams Elementary this December. You guys are going to do that. It's going to be awesome. And then it also says, yeah, you can applaud on that one. That's cool. Like, what's really cool is they're going to get this message like in a couple of weeks. It's going to say, hey, you know, someone has taken care of your lunch debt. And that is awesome. And it'll say from the Fields Church. And then we're going to feed a lot of kids all throughout December around the world. And I know in our brochure it says we're going to feed 450 kids a month, but we literally just a few days ago partnered with an organization that's doing a matching grant. So we're going to feed 900 kids every single day in December. You're going to do that. And so that's really cool that because of what you're doing in December, they said, we'll double that, we'll match that. And so we're going to feed 900 kids every day in December is going to get a meal through Convoy Hope's Feeding Initiative. So let's be a blessing in December. And if there's different ways you can give in the offerings and stuff, but we're just going to set aside that, those dollars that come in. If you add all that up, you can see it's about $20,000 to say, let's bless a lot of people at Christmas time. And it's fun and it's exciting. And I kind of feel like if Jesus gave his son and it's the greatest gift that we can have, how can we give? What can we do? And let's just bless some lives, and let's just show the world that God is good, and there's still some really good people out there, and we can be a blessing, and we're going to do it in the name of Jesus, and it's going to be awesome. And so I love that about Christmas. And that's why we spend a whole month on Christmas. If we just did it one weekend, it's like, oh, it's too big of a deal for that. And so every weekend in December, we talk about Christmas and a little part of the story. And so the series is just called, Christmas at the Fields. And we just say, hey, come any Sunday, come every Sunday. This year specifically, we've been looking at a song and singing a special song, and then even saying, what's the theme behind that song and what's going on? And so today we read, Oh Come, we sing, Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him. And personally, I love this song, and it's one of the classics. Like, I know when I'm driving down the road, sometimes I got to have a little bit of like rocking around the Christmas tree and some jingle in my step. But when it comes to Christmas, it's like, I need this song. Like, I love this song. And Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him. Oh come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh come ye to Bethlehem. I mean, just the telling of this story, and come, and something magnificent has taken place. He says, come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ, Christ the Lord. And that song just is so heartfelt because it's the true message of Christmas. It's what it's all about. And so I asked our team, I'm like, we got it. I want to put this into this month because I want us to remember that we are born to adore him. Like, we've been created to worship the Creator. And the beginning of the story is Christmas. He's born into the world, and we celebrate not just, you know, the story of Christmas, but what we're supposed to celebrate is the Christ of Christmas. And Christmas is that time of that we celebrate. If it's even a new concept to you, you know, it's when we celebrate Jesus Christ being born into the world. And on December 21st and 22nd, I'm going to go deep into the story and unpack that. That's when we have those six services. That's when we have tickets available so you can make sure you have your seat. And so that's that we're going to unpack all the full story of Christmas on that weekend. But today, I want us to, maybe I can say it this way, let's adore Christ the Savior more than we love Christmas the season. And I think if we can land there today and we can let that resonate in our hearts, that maybe I need a little bit of a realignment. I need to really adore and worship Christ the Savior more than I get excited about Christmas the season. Because sometimes we do get a little bit overtaken just by the holiday. And I know there's some tension, there's tension about this because we've created Christmas to be so much fun and there's so many elements of it and it's great. Isn't it great? It is a wonderful time of year, but we have to be careful that we're not just getting caught up in the wonderful time of Christmas holiday that we forget to adore the King and worship the Savior. And so maybe today, I need this, is maybe we just need a little bit of a realignment. Sometimes you got to realign your wheels and kind of get back on track. And we're 2 weeks into December. This would be a perfect time to say, I'm going to make sure that I'm heading the right direction here at Christmas and that it's more about adoring the Savior, Christ the Savior, than it is just celebrating and having fun at Christmas this season. And Mary, there's a lot of scripture around the story of how there's so much celebration of Jesus and who he was and the birth. And Mary and Joseph, the shepherds, the wise men, they all celebrated the birth of Jesus. And today I want us to examine those wise men, those men who traveled from afar. They came from these eastern lands and they came to worship what they were known as the Christ child, this newborn king. And they traveled to do that. And I want us to see this. And it's in the second chapter of Matthew. Matthew is the very first book of the New Testament. You have Matthew and then Mark, Luke, and John. And these guys were the disciples of Jesus, but he tells in his story the beginning of Jesus being born, and then, man, what would that have looked like during that day and what took place? And so in chapter 2, Matthew records that these wise men came from this great distance, and they traveled, and we don't know a lot about these guys. Tradition will tell us a little bit, and you can try to read between the lines and connect the dots a little bit, and some say there were 12 of them, not 3 of them. Some said there would have been a huge group of them because people that wealthy would have traveled in this large entourage, or some say they were kings because in the way they connect the dots there is, well, if they're opening up their treasure chests and they have these really expensive gifts, these were kings from afar that came, and chances are our nativity's off a little bit. They weren't right there at the stable. It came actually down the road a little bit. So I purposely moved them about 4 inches off to the side. I don't know what you guys do, but I kind of have a little bit of a time lapse. I like just move those 3 fellas over a little bit, and then I should put a little sticky note that says 2 years later, you know? But anyway, but I mean, they did come and celebrate the birth of Jesus. They just weren't at the party the day of. Like, they didn't get invited into the hospital like the close family does, you know. They didn't get to hear the chimes ring when Jesus was born or whatever. But they did come. And we don't know a lot of that. It's crazy. It's like they're in every picture of Christmas we got in our nativity scenes, and we have porcelain figurines of these guys. But when you look at it, it's really some tradition and some history and just trying to put together geography of where did these guys come from. And they were probably from the Babylonia area. And we knew that they were into astronomy because they'd been studying the stars, and that culture that far east was into that. And so there is some of that you can piece together of kind of where they were from and how far they traveled. And we knew that, you know, that it was at least, you know, 1 to 2 years old that Jesus was when they saw him. So we know that it was this really long, massive journey. We know those things. But it is still just connecting the dots. Let's look at actually what we do know, which is the first 12 chapters of, or the first 12 verses in chapter 2 of Matthew. This is what we know. This is what is recorded. This is what we know of the story. I'm going to take a look at it. It says, Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, where is the newborn king? Where is he? Where is this newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we've come to worship him. So they've been watching, and they'd seen it, and they're like, okay, we're coming to worship him. Goes on, that King Herod, who they are having conversation with, because they're like, if there's going to be a king, let's go to the capital, let's go to where all the government officials are, let's go find the king and ask him about it. So they had this conversation of there's this newborn king that was born. We know it because of the stars. And it says that King Herod was deeply disturbed when he heard this. Now, we're going to talk all about that next week, so not to throw a teaser out there, but you got to come back next week to find out why he was disturbed and all of the turmoil around King Herod and why there was such disturbance in his soul over this. But let's go back to the wise men. So it goes a few verses later, then it says, after this conversation that we're going to talk about next week, after this conversation, the wise men went their way, and the star they had seen in the east guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them and stopped over the place where the child was. And in Bethlehem, goes on, it says, when they saw the star, they were filled with joy. Like just overwhelmed with joy, bubbling with joy, not happiness. We'll talk more about this, but I mean, there is something inside of them that they knew. They knew that they just came in contact with this newborn king and this Christ, and the journey came to fruition. It goes on and says that when they entered the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down. These wise men from afar, with royalty, wealth, everything, they bowed down and they worshiped him. Right after that, then it says this, that then they opened up their treasure chests and they gave him gifts. They gave baby Jesus gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Very extremely wealthy gifts. These are of great value and purpose, and they presented those to baby Jesus. And when I look at this whole story, I want us to, in the lenses of, oh, come, let us adore him. What does it mean to adore Jesus? I think we can learn a lot from these wise men. I think we can learn a lot from this group of people who traveled with purpose to worship the king. And I want us to figure this out and say, I think that we can apply some of this to our lives today and look at the wise men and learn and even look inside and maybe audit our own lives and say, do we have some of the same desires that these wise men did toward Jesus? So number one is this, you and I, we have to choose to follow him. Like, this is a decision that they made. There was an intentionality about this. They had to travel. They had to pack. They had to prepare. They had to get their treasure chest. They had to get ready for a journey without airplane, car, train, or any of that. It was a trek. New land, new language, new people, unknown territory. No GPS, none of that. And they're choosing. And then what are they following? They're following a star. They're following prophecies that they've heard from 700 years ago. And then the star that arose, that they said, this is the prophecy. This, the star has arose. We have to follow this bright light. This is a sign from God that the Savior, the King, has been born. And all on that, they begin to travel and to follow him. Talk about faith. Talk about seeing, believing, and knowing there's something that we have to go see. The king is here. The king has been born. And it's active, and it's not accidental. And I think in our culture today, in the United States, and where we live, and this just the time period that we live in, we have to be really careful that we are actively following Jesus, not just accidentally following Jesus. Like, let me say that in a way that, let me give you a warning. There's sometimes we hear that, well, I'm not Jewish, I'm not Buddhist, I'm not Muslim, I guess I'm Christian. because I'm not this, this, or this. And so we just categorize, I guess I'm Christian. Or sometimes we hear, well, I believe that there's a God. I believe in God. And so then we slide into the category of, well, I must be a follower of Christ just because I believe. But I mean, even the demons believed in God. We have to remember that. Satan believed in God, you know. And so just believing in a higher power, we have to be careful there. We have to be really careful. And then, well, my family took us to church my whole life. So yeah, I'm a Christian. I mean, I just, that's what we do. My grandma took us when we were kids, and my mom and dad took me, and then now I'm here, and we're carrying that on, and we take our kids, and we have to remember that for the wise men, it was so intentional. It was like, no, we are setting everything aside, and we're going to go find the newborn king. I know we read it once. Let's dive in and just read the verses one more time. About that time, these wise men from eastern lands far away, they arrived and they said, where is the king? Like they're hunting him down. They're seeking him out. They're trying to find him. There's a pursuit. That's the word I like to use here is these kings, they're pursuing Jesus. There's a pursuit. We saw his star and as it rose. We saw the signs. We saw what we needed to see, that maybe God is real, something's real here. We saw something, we sensed something, and we've come to worship him. Like we've taken action. This isn't accidental. We've taken action. This is intentional. I'm making a choice to come and to worship. It goes on and it says, no, that's all it says there. And I want us to realize that it's a choice. These guys are making a choice. Do we make a choice? Do you wake up every week and say, as a family, as an individual, we're choosing to follow Jesus, not choosing to come to church. I'm not talking about church attendance here. I'm talking about choosing to follow Jesus, choosing to pursue him. That's what they were doing. They weren't going so they could say, hey, we went to church on Christmas. You know, the wise men, we're pursuing him. We want to know this newborn king. We want to see it for ourselves. We want to be there. We want to worship him. We don't want to just see it as a tourist. We're coming with our lives and our gifts, and we want to worship him. And so they made this choice that the star, and here's the crazy thing, that star, it wasn't like these three guys, if we're just going to say there's three of them. It wasn't that just those three guys saw that star. So think about that. How many thousands of people saw this star and didn't do anything about it? How many of our friends and family hear about Jesus and hear the story or know that it's Christmas, but they don't do anything about it? Like there's a lot of people that have seen and heard about a star, but they just don't pursue anything. And so these guys make a choice to pursue. And Jesus is available to everyone, but not everyone will follow him. And that breaks my heart. And it should break our heart as a church. It should help us understand, man, we got to help people know that Jesus is real and he's life-changing and life-giving, and it's not just culture and tradition. And no, this is life-changing. Because there's some people that the star can come and go, and they don't change the path of where they're going. It fades in the night. And so we need to be sure that we are on the journey ourselves, and then we help other people get on the journey of following Jesus. It's a choice. It's a choice. When Joy and I taught a class several years ago, we were teaching a class for college in 20s age group, and we were teaching a group, and there were Ethiopian students from EIU, and just love those people. And there's just a table full of these dear friends from Ethiopia. And they were telling us stories about what it was like to be a Christian back home before they came over to Eastern. And this one guy, he said he would literally walk 3 to 4 miles a day to get to his church. And then he would walk back. And then he would get beat up for being, like beat up as in like not picked on. We're talking he was beaten for his faith. And I'm sitting across the table from him, and I'm teaching him a Sunday school lesson, and I'm teaching him something, and he's telling me that he used to walk 3 to 5 miles a day to get to church and then to walk back, and then that he would get literally beaten for his faith. And he chose to pursue faith in Christ knowing those are the circumstances. I wanted to just kind of turn the table and say, you're the teacher here. Like, you teach me. But I had to realize it's like there is a choice. And I got to be really honest. Sometimes, even still today, sometimes we just put it on autopilot. And I just kind of coast through life with my faith in Jesus. And these wise men, if they were on autopilot, they would have never made this journey to pursue who Jesus was. They chose. They made a choice. They made a choice to follow what they knew was Christ. And they wanted to pursue and to be there. Let's be intentional about that. The second thing I think we can learn from these guys is just to discover the joy. Psalm talks about like the discover the joy of your salvation. It's in Psalms, but the joy of knowing Jesus. Again, this is so personal. This isn't happiness. This isn't, oh, it feels so good to go to church. It just, oh, I like, it just kind of makes me like, and I hear this a lot, and I know it doesn't, and I know you're not mean, I know that it's not a bad thing, but it's like, it's just a great way to start my week. I just feel good. But I just want us to know that there's a joy that's deeper than an emotion of, oh, it makes me happy or it makes me feel good. This is a joy that God has taken care of you because you were separated without Jesus. And there's this joy of knowing that when we cross into eternity, that we get to cross into eternity into heaven with the Father forever. And there is a joy of our salvation that we have met the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and that we are His children and He is our Father. And the joy is, there's just, it should create inside of us, it should just bubble up, and there should be this sense of, I don't take this for granted. I am full of joy. Again, going back to the verses again, let's just take a look at this. Is that after that interview, the wise men went their way. The star had seemed that they'd seen in the east, guided them to Bethlehem. It went ahead of them, and it stopped over the place where the child was. Can you imagine this? They're traveling, and then the star, it's just like, it gets to where they need to be, and they're like, I think we're close. And when they saw the star, they were filled with joy, the sense of, I'm almost in the presence of the King. That's what was getting inside of them. Remember, they'd been journeying for so long, and they're like, I'm almost in the presence of this King. And when we read the Christmas story carefully, we see that joy is this common theme. It surrounds so many people that are interacted with Christ. The story just is permeated with joy, with joy, with joy. The wise men were overjoyed because of the star. The shepherds heard the angels say this, that the angels are saying, don't be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all the people. The angels had to let these shepherds know, no, this is incredible what's happening tonight. This is going to bring great joy to all people. You see, the natural accompaniment with the birth of Christ, even 2,000 years later, is joy, a joy in the heart. And without joy, there is no adoring Him. There's no adoration. Their whole purpose and the whole way that we can be fueled by, oh, come, let us adore Him, is there's this joy inside of us. If you need to rediscover that joy. Our kids in all areas today are learning all about this. So parents, you can ask your own kids, like, help us understand what joy is. Because in every age group on the other side of the building today, they're hearing about joy. They're learning about it. And it's amazing that they're going to learn that happiness comes and goes, but it's the joy of the Lord that stays forever. We need to know that. You need to know that. And during good days, great. During bad days, yes. During good and bad, happiness, and when happiness is gone, the joy of the Lord stays forever. Jesus came into the world to give us victory over our sin. That's the joy. That's not that the bills went up or gas prices are up or the news said this or that. No. Jesus came and there's victory over sin. That's the joy. What a Savior. That's Christmas. That's Christmas, is the Savior has been born into the world. That's awesome. And then the third thing we see is that they worshiped Him. And we need to learn to worship Jesus. We need to learn to worship Him. We need to learn what that really means is to worship him. Let's again, let's take a look at just, you know, picture this in your mind and in your brains, is that they entered this house. It would have been a simple house, you know, in a very rural community. They entered, these wise men carrying these treasure chests and probably this entourage, and they entered into this house, and they saw the child with his mother, Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. Amazing, amazing scene right there. Modern day, what we would know is just these, like, you know, probably billionaires walk into this very, very humble house, and they bow down and they worship a child. They worship a child. And then they open up their treasure chests, not coin purse, treasure chests. And they give them these gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Again, just these extremely wealthy gifts with great purpose that they gave to the child, because they wanted to give him these gifts out of a heart of worship. This is out of continued with worship. And a couple of things we can learn here is one is they bowed down and worshiped him. That's position and posture. The original language there that said that they would have been like laying prostrate down, like literally just laying down in worship. And they would have been in a way that they pay homage to a king. And here's these wise men traveling from afar doing what people did in front of kings to this toddler and said, we worship you. We worship you. We worship you. I was, when I was 16, I started come back to church, and it was all new to me, and music and worship and people raising hands and singing, and it was just new to me, you know. I'd kind of been in and out of church a lot, but as a 16-year-old, I just kind of showed back up, and it was like, wow, this is great and interesting all at the same time. And I remember I was in an evening service, and there's some missionaries visiting, and they were speaking that day, and we were in the middle of in songs and singing, and this missionary is kind of there, the couple is kind of sitting in the second row in the middle of the aisle, and the female missionary, she right in the middle of the music, she kind of slipped out into the middle of the aisle, and she got down on her knees, and then she just started, like, she bowed down and lay down in the aisle. And I'm like, you know, I'm a 16-year-old kid going, what is that all about, you know? Like, what's going on here? And I was just observing, and I thought, man, missionaries to Africa are kind of weird. And it's kind of crazy. And I at that moment, as a 16-year-old who really didn't have a relationship with Jesus at the time, and everything was really new, I just kind of chalked it up as crazy missionary behavior. And then as I grew as a Christian and like figured this out, and like as I even was thinking back on that story this week, I'm like, as I've matured in my understanding, it wasn't crazy missionary behavior. It was a woman of God who loved Jesus and was worshiping him in an expressive way of just bowing down with complete submission to the Lord. And I mean, missionaries back then, like this was before Wi-Fi and before, you know, videoing back home and the ease of all that, you know, all of that. It was just, and here she is worshiping. Was it uncommon? It was uncommon. It was uncommon for me. Is traveling across the land with three very rich, you know, wealthy wise men uncommon? That's uncommon too. And they did whatever they needed to worship. So let us sing. Let us not just sing, but let us really worship the King. And then they gave him these gifts. What an act of worship. And I don't want to, you know, we always get uncomfortable when we talk about giving and giving. But I mean, trust me, there was zero guilt or obligation or any kind of emotional manipulation for these kings to come and give these gifts. It wasn't like they had to do it out of obligation. There wasn't a sense of, if I give these gifts, then, you know, we can feed 900 kids. And, you know, it wasn't that. It was, no, I'm worshiping the King. And I got to be really honest, as pastor, sometimes we spend so much on what we can do with the incredible generosity that we give, that you give, and we can bless other people, that we forget about really it's all about worshiping the King. And it's about just giving to God. And it's just about having that heart of worship. And these wise men traveled so far just to worship God with their best. It's pretty exciting that at Christmas, the first real story of people worshiping Jesus in such an extravagant way was so uncommon. And these guys show up and they worship baby Jesus with tangible gifts that they opened up their own treasure chests and gave. And man, we can learn a lot from worship. We can learn a lot from these wise men. Oh, come, let us adore him. Let's fast forward to 2019. Oh, come, let us adore him. Can we adore him today? Can we adore him this season? Can we adore him? What are we learning here from the wise men? Number one is maybe we need to seek him out and pursue him more. Maybe you've walked in today and you don't have a real relationship with Jesus and you need to pursue him and seek him out. Do that. They traveled from afar following a star to find Jesus. What is it going to take for you? It's pretty easy today. You're here. You're watching this. You're here. Just pursue Jesus with your life and your heart. Pursue him. Maybe you need to discover a brand new joy, a joy of your salvation. Maybe you need to know it's not about happiness or good or bad days, but it's returning to the joy of the Lord in your life. And love him and appreciate him and discover this brand new joy that God can give you, that only he can give you. And lastly, maybe we need to worship Jesus in a new and a robust way. Maybe we need to learn to really worship God. Maybe I've never raised my hands, I need to raise my hands. Maybe I've never sung out loud for him to hear. Maybe I've never opened up my treasure chest and just gave God the gifts that he's already given me through my job and my resources. What's it look like to worship God in a new and a robust way? Because I think that we could model our lives after the wise men. I think we can. Today we're going to celebrate that God gave the greatest gift ever, which was his son Jesus. And as you walked in today, you know that you got handed the communion packets. And so today, I want us to understand that Jesus came not just to live, but to die. And that's part of the gift. That's part of the story. And so he came to earth so he could give his life away. And in just a moment, we're going to celebrate that story through communion. And communion is remembering that gift. Communion is remembering the story. It's retelling the story and doing this in remembrance of what God has done. And at the Fields Church, communion is open to anyone that's a Christian. Doesn't matter what location you're at today. Doesn't matter denominational ties, growth track, membership, if you jump through five hoops, whatever. No, it's about I follow Jesus. He's my Savior. He died for me. I want to celebrate in that. And that's, so if you're with us today for maybe even the first time and you're wondering, can I take communion? The question is, are you wanting to celebrate what Jesus has done for your life? The answer is yes. Yes. So close your eyes with me. In all locations, close your eyes and let's focus our hearts as we're going to join together for communion in just a moment. Let me pray for all of us. Lord, prepare our hearts right now. Let us quiet our hearts. We want to worship you. We want to worship you through communion. We want to worship you through our thoughts and our attitude. Help us, Lord, to remember that the greatest gift you've ever given us is your Son. And we want to receive that today. We want to celebrate that today. We're so thankful, Lord, that Christmas is the beginning of a story that ends in a rescue. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Amen. 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 This morning, we'd like to take time to reflect on the communion. So if you have it, if you need it today, if you slipped in and didn't get a packet and you need one today, would you like to raise your hand? We've got our team here to pass it out. So just keep your hands up and they're going to pass it down. And those in the aisle, if you can help us, just they may have to pass one down the row. So just keep your hands up and they'll make sure that you get one. This morning, can I say it again? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And that is the beginning of Christmas. But it ends with Jesus dying on the cross so you and I could have eternal life. So the Christmas story is the beginning. It's the beginning of the gift that leads to eternity. And Paul tells us kind of why we take communion, and he says this to the church in Corinth. Let me read it real quick. This is Paul's voice to the church. Paul says, "For I pass on to you what I've received from the Lord himself. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it into pieces and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people. It's an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. We're remembering that Jesus died for our sins. Until he returns again, we celebrate with the bread and the juice together, this cup. Now, the bread represents Jesus's body that was broken. If you want to take that out, you can peel off that first layer there and take that out. And yes, Jesus's life was broken, but also imagine the disciples, they're breaking apart this bread, and it's really Jesus saying, my body is broken, but I myself have been given to everyone, distributed to you. So as we hold it in our hand, just know that Jesus came not just for 12 guys a long time ago. Jesus came for you. And as you hold the bread, his body was broken for you. And his life has been dispersed for you, for you. And as we take the bread together, it represents that he is for you. And together, we're all in this together. We all get to participate in the broken bread. Let's take it together. Jesus, we worship you. We thank you. Thank you for the bread that represents such a great gift of your life and your body that was broken and literally just made available. God, that you make yourself available to us today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Take the cup. It represents Jesus's blood. You can peel back that second layer. And Jesus's blood was shed for us because his blood is what covers our sin. It was a sacrifice that covers all sins. And that you and I, we cannot be reunited with the Father if our sins are still in us. And so he says, "I'll take care of the sin. I'll cover it. I'll remove it. I'll wash you clean." And it was his death on the cross that makes that happen. And so we celebrate today and remember it was the blood of Jesus is the only way that we can be made clean. And so we drink this because he passed it around to the disciples and said, as you drink this cup, remember, this is the new promise that you're set free. Not only can you know God, but you can find freedom from your sin. You can be set free. And Jesus becomes the ultimate sacrifice, and without him, we cannot have life. We cannot have life with him. So let's drink the cup together. Jesus, we love you and we thank you. Thank you, God, for the cup and the juice that represents the greatest sacrifice ever paid, that you bought our guilt and our shame and you took care of it all. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Will you still stand with me? Will you stand with me? Imagine in the light of knowing that Jesus gave it all. Imagine if we would just adore him. Adore Jesus as Savior of the world. That we would adore him more as the Savior of our lives than just the season that we're in December. That we can adore him with all of our hearts. Can we show the whole world what it looks like to adore the King of Kings? What it looks like to worship our Savior? Oh, come, all ye faithful, those that are full of joy, joyful, and those who know that with a life in Christ, it's triumphant. All who are faithful, joyful and triumphant, come and behold him. He's born the King of Angels. Come, let us adore him. Come, let us adore him. Let us adore him. He is Christ, Christ the Lord. Let's adore him this morning.